Hi there, I'm online editor Emma Prestwich, and I want to introduce you to this awesome 19th episode of the Eye Opener podcast. In this episode, we talk about the Super Bowl and how nobody cares about it. Well, everybody cares about it except for us. Dasha reveals that she's an expert hip thruster who will thrust for pay. I call Sean a degenerate, and we pretty much mourn the fact that technology seems to be pretty crappy these days. And we do talk about some news items that you might find interesting. We don't complain as much as I'm making it sound, I promise. I also need to plug the fact that we are giving away two fantabulous baskets from the Stag Shop in conjunction with our Love and Sex issue that comes out next week on February 13th. All you have to do to win is email us, tweet at us at The Eye Opener, or physically bring in a paper copy to the big box that's above our paper stand outside our office. It says contest entries, and you need to write to us and tell us about your sexiest experience, but it has to be in under 140 characters, so you got to sum up that amazing night for us. They're pretty amazing baskets. There's one for women and one for men. The stuff is pretty expensive. I really want to win it, but I can't, so make good use of it for me. You gotta bring in your entries by February 13th when we will draw from them. Anyways, hope you enjoy this episode.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode, at least in the last little while, of the Eye Opener podcast. It's actually Eye Opener podcast number 19, but you probably just started listening to our last podcast or possibly this one. So hopefully you're excited by it. I am a Prestwich, the online editor. I'm joined today by...
I'm Sean Wetzlar, one of the news editors.
I'm Lee Richardson, and I'm editor.
And I'm Dash Azulita, and I'm a photo editor.
Awesome. So all these people decided to join me today to talk about exciting things to all of you guys. Last week we previewed our Love and Sex issue, which comes out on February 13th. We didn't literally preview it because we think all of the content is too sexy and exciting to actually reveal it to you until the issue comes out, but we talked about lots of sexy things. We tried to do a secret exchange of sort of a version of our Love and Sex survey, but it didn't work out very well. But yeah, we did that last week. And wanted to tell you guys, before you start listening, that you can win an exciting basket from the Stag Shop. Yes, the stuff in this basket is worth more than $100, and there's one for women and one for men. Just look for details in our issue that comes out on Wednesday. It's a pretty exciting way to win as well. We get to hear more about you guys, that's all I'm gonna say for now. Yeah, enter the contest once you find out about it. So, yeah, it should be good. I'm really excited about the fact that... I don't know if I'm excited about it at all, actually. The Super Bowl is on tonight, and that is all anybody seems to be talking about. I don't know if you guys care about it. Apparently there's a power outage. Beyonce looked sexy, but...
A power outage?
Yeah.
Like what? What do you mean?
Yeah, like half the lights went out in the stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. No, that's probably the most interested I am.
I know.
I think we've all just shown how interested we are. Oh, there's a power outage?
I know.
It's on right now, right?
And well, you know
we're sitting here podcasting and not watching it, so...
It clearly indicates our level of interest, because we clearly have better things to do than eat nachos and yell at a screen.
Hey, it's wings, apparently.
Oh, wings are the thing.
Wings and beer, yeah.
Wings and beer, yeah. Throw wings at the screen, too, I guess.
Oh, that doesn't seem like it would end well for the TV screen.
I heard there was in the run-up, like this week, to the Super Bowl, there was a concern that they were going to run out of chicken wings in America. America.
America has so many
like,
chickens.
America as a country would just run... I don't know what the rest of the chicken, you know, where that would be, but apparently the wings would just run out. But apparently they solved that crisis.
By killing more chickens.
By killing, probably, yeah.
That's very good to hear.
The biggest problem America has is not enough meat.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, but, I mean, in defense of the Super Bowl, none of us are sports people, and, I mean, if you followed sports, I could definitely see the appeal of the event that's basically the culmination of the football season. If I watched a lot of football, I'm sure I'd be excited about the finals, sort of football being so massive and so huge, and there's all the Super Bowl ads. Even people that don't watch sports end up watching the Super Bowl ads, and they end up watching all of the halftime shows often, and, like... They don't even care about sports. I mean, I don't follow sports, but I think it's cool that there's an event like that that kind of everybody watches.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of the American version of the NHL playoffs. You may disagree, but I feel like every time the playoffs come around, people either go behind one or the other team, and it just becomes the symbolic event that pulls everyone together somehow.
No, exactly. Even if you don't watch hockey, people are like, oh, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? And everybody follows it. Everybody's like aware of who's playing in the Stanley Cup finals or who's in the Super Bowl or whatever.
Yeah. It seems like there's a lot of people that are just watching the Super Bowl because of Beyonce, though, and because of
That's
the
true.
Entertainment factor. So I'm thinking, like, what other sports would people just watch the culmination of, if there was, like, I don't know, like Justin Timberlake was playing a concert or some other big star.
None. Like a croquet,
like,
match.
Would they watch, like, would they watch, like, the curling final if they had, like, I don't know, some huge band? Like,
that's
I don't know,
One Direction. One Direction at curling.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Just, like, what's the line of sport that people would watch?
Super Bowl's, I mean, it's about the sports, but it's barely about the sports.
Yeah.
It's this huge societal construction, right? Like, I think the two most widely watched things on TV are the Oscars and the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
And they're watched by, I think it's like over a billion people, isn't it?
Sure.
Watch the Super Bowl and watch the Oscars. So it's more than football. It's not, there's a billion people in the world that care really deeply about number of touchdowns and stuff. It's just the whole construct of it. It's the halftime show. There's always a huge band at the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, people make ads specifically to run on the Super Bowl because those ads are so expensive, it's worth it.
And
like,
yeah,
if
they're
over
so
like
expensive.
The last
yeah.
however many years we built up curling to be an enormously big deal, and it was this, you know, huge event, I'm sure people would watch it.
I don't know about curling, though. Curling
maybe curling's
too
not
slow.
The most
yeah,
exciting
one
sport.
Exception.
Yeah.
Curling and croquet, I totally get your argument, and I wish we could do that. But I feel like football is faster, the guys are beefier, I feel like curling just doesn't have the same...
sex appeal
thrill factor. Sex appeal.
Yeah.
Or croquet. I feel like the outfits are just not conducive to
yeah,
sex appeal in any way.
I saw on Twitter, though, that during one of the breaks, the Star Trek ad was playing for the first time ever. It was playing during the Super Bowl.
The Star Trek ad?
Yeah, you know the new
that?
Film?
No.
The Star Trek. You know they did the reboot, like, a few years
yeah,
ago?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, now there's a sequel to that. And
no.
the ad for that is playing during the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That trailer's been out for a while.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, yeah. I've already seen it.
Oh.
Sean would know.
Yes. Yes,
no,
I would.
No, from the way people were talking about it, it was like the first time it had been shown.
There might be a new trailer, but
maybe.
I've seen a trailer for it. The trailer for it's been out for a while, a few months now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting, though, how it's this big symbolic event that everybody can get behind. It's an excuse to just sit there and drink a lot of beer and overeat food and...
It's like
yeah.
Christmas.
It's a social
yeah.
thing, too. Like, what are you doing on Super Bowl Sunday? Like, people get together and drink beer and watch TV. Like, it's a social thing.
Very much so. It's bigger
mm-hmm.
than that.
And, like, if we think about it this way, Forrest Gump never played croquet. Forrest Gump played football. Like,
that's true.
It's a very American thing. I don't know. It's
Dash
very...
has been on a Forrest Gump kick tonight. She
yeah.
must have watched it lately.
No, I haven't.
We were looking over one of the shoots from the Love and Sex issue, and Dasha referred to one of the shoots as looking like it was from a scene from Forrest Gump, so.
Particularly when Jenny is serenading and she's trying to become a star, and then Forrest Gump and like runs and saves her from the stage and she gets all angry.
That's honestly the most tragic movie.
Yeah.
It's the music at the end. It's the Forrest Gump suite.
Oh, yeah.
I swear my family got the soundtrack, which is two CDs, by the way, and every time it gets to that last track on the CD, both my dad and my sister have tears in their eyes. And it's a really disturbing experience. But no, they will sit in the living room and listen to the Forrest Gump suite and just be silent and their eyes will glaze over.
Like eating it's dinner, beautiful. Just, this is such a beautiful meal.
It's a moving suite. I don't know what it is. So.
Never seen Forrest Gump.
No?
What?
Oh,
jeez.
It's like
you
3 hours long.
It's
it?
A really long movie.
I don't know. A few people I've talked to have told me that like they didn't actually think it was that good a movie. And like
I think you probably have to be, you probably have to be American to get the...
Maybe.
A lot
social.
Of the references.
I get lots of the references.
No,
because
the references are fine.
There's so many and they're everywhere, but like I haven't actually seen the movie.
I think what's so striking about Forrest Gump is obviously they're trying to capture this whole section of American history in the movie. You can tell they're trying to do that, but the main appeal is that Forrest himself has so little awareness of what's actually going on. So he doesn't at one point go, oh man, this must be the significant moment in history. Like he... Isn't there one where he's around when Kennedy's shot and
like
he shakes
Martin
his hand?
Martin Luther King and stuff like that, right?
Yeah,
he just kind of cruises through life like completely unaware of everything, not giving a crap pretty much, and I don't know.
Which I
cool.
can see
like,
how
like
that could
movie.
Be seen as like a convenient character to analyze that whole like, it goes from like the mid-50s to the mid-90s. So I can understand why people would be like, well, Forrest isn't, he's sort of a lens with which to view this whole section of American history, but I don't know. I thought it was a pretty epic movie.
It's pretty
and,
good.
And shitty things happen to him, like, every 10 minutes, so you really have to feel bad for him.
Yeah, my favorite part was their, like, the way that the director made fun of the American military when they called him a complete genius in the beginning when he joins the boot camp. That was so funny.
Sorry, there's a really squeaky chair in here, and I'm going to minimize the amount of squeaking, but it's probably going to happen.
Shuffle
so
around
you may, just,
as much
yeah,
noise
you may
as we
just
can.
Have to actually deal
yeah.
with it. But no, it's interesting. I'm as I sit here, I'm wearing a Vancouver Canucks shirt. Many people have asked me about it. I'm pretty much a bandwagon fan in the style of people joining teams for the Super Bowl. So I do think the NHL playoffs are the same thing. So if you have thoughts about that, you can let us know. Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you care? Did Beyonce look hot? I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Probably.
She did. When the power went out, people kept saying that Beyonce must have stolen.
I'm surprised the power went out, though.
Yeah, that's
you think shocking. They would have something like...
generators.
You know, some sort of idea that something like that might have happened to prevent that. But, I don't know. They're probably just all busy watching Beyonce.
Exactly. Eating their wings. Throwing them at the players. But,
But no, I would never watch it. I know I have seen it, and I probably never will watch it. It's
yeah.
Just, I just don't care.
No.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That's awesome. So I think in terms of, we usually do some sort of stupid prank as the eye-opener. That's sort of our style. And I think that something we should totally do is someone on the eye-opener masthead should apply for the position of Eddie the mascot, which just came up the other day. They actually posted about it on the Ryerson site. They're looking for a new Eggie.
I need a job.
But
Dash, it could be Eggie.
Oh
you
my
need a
God,
job.
I
you have
Eggie.
Three jobs.
But I can booty shake and be Eggie and like get the fans all riled up.
I don't think there's a justification in the world for working four jobs and being a student.
I need as many courses as I have jobs.
Holy moly. I wonder how much you get paid to be Eggie.
Does
and
it pay? Is it a paid position?
Does Eggie get laid is my question. I mean, like, you're a mascot. Like, you're raising morale.
That's a legitimate question. For how much of his job is he... He's obviously obligated to keep the costume on the whole time, but can he get busy with people
No,
after?
Because Eggie's identity is secret. Nobody's allowed to know, right?
So does he keep the hat on?
No. Like, I assume he puts on the costume and dances around at the games and then goes to a change room and takes it off and nobody knows who he is. Because Eggie, isn't that a school tradition? Eggie's identity is not known.
There's
I feel like if one of us.
Who know.
Well,
I feel like if one of us ran.
It did.
No, wait, it was a ram, right?
It was an actual ram.
Goat.
A ram's a male goat.
Male goat, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, back in. When did they
it
stop doing
it? It was like the
it?
70s, I think, it stopped. Or maybe the early 80s.
It was. I think it was the mid 80s they stopped. They had a farm that was just south of Barrie that they used to get the goat. But then there were just a bunch of incidents of students, like, getting drunk. There was one where they left him in a fashion department bathroom for a weekend. People started neglecting him and leaving him out in the cold and the snow, and all the animal rights groups got riled up about it, so.
Yeah, well, that probably having an actual mascot is a terrible idea for a bunch of drunken university students, so.
Especially in a commuter school, like, that's just bound not to work out.
Nobody's going to take care of it.
That's
plus
true.
Their mom can't dance.
Yeah, especially what happened with
that's
Scoop
true.
Here. And we're just, like, 10, 11 journalists, so.
That's true.
No, and I mean, you know, goats can't pelvic thrust, so.
No.
No. Yeah.
I, on the other hand, I think I would make a great Aggie. I can pelvic thrust.
So if it turns
out
that somehow Dasha becomes the new Aggie, just forget we ever had this conversation. Delete this podcast. Otherwise, we're committing school treason.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
I'd also just like to point out that Dasha is now publicly announcing that she can pelvic thrust until...
Yes! So if you happen to have any other opportunities for pelvic thrusting, just ask Dasha.
No worries.
We should publish an instructional video.
Public
instructional
no, wait.
Video. That's our next upload.
Pelvic thrusting for pay.
It'll be like Call on Me by Eric Prydz all over again. The entire video is like people in 80s spandex just hip thrusting.
Oh man.
It's pretty impressive. Yeah.
I think they should get another mascot though, like two. So there's a ram, maybe get like a goat. Call it something else.
I could just see people trying to sit on it and ride it.
Not an actual goat. Like a person in a costume. A goat.
Like a
standing
goat.
In a goat.
Because then it'll be like a couple.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Isn't that interspecies? Or
no.
A goat for
ram?
A ram
is a male
goat. Oh, well.
Jinx.
That was weird.
But yeah, they should get another mascot. There should be two of them, I think.
That could happen. That would be great.
Well.
Oh, they could have little, like, goatlets. Tiny little goats.
We are just coming up with gold, right? So you can send your checks to the Eye Opener. news@theeyeopener.com. Just.
But yeah, I feel like people assume that Eggy the Ram is a man, but I happen to know that the mascot from a couple years ago was actually a woman who was...
Really?
Yeah, I know who it was.
Anyone could be inside that costume. You know who it was, but we better not reveal it.
I don't know if this is public knowledge yet. You may have to file a Freedom of Information request.
I don't think it's ever public knowledge.
File a Freedom of Information request for the identity of Eggy.
Yes. Well, when I work at the Rack... and for a while I worked up at the front desk. When you first come into the facility, they hand you towels and sign you out tennis rackets and stuff. And when we'd go down to the laundry room to wash the towels, there was a particular setting on the washing machine for Eggy costume. And I always wanted to somehow time it so that I could be down there when they washed the Eggy costume and just hope that the person who is Eggy would somehow come by. But it's like the lamest school secret ever,
set
but everybody wants to know.
I hope
yeah,
they've got more than
Eggy.
One costume. Did the thing have really just got one?
Yeah, they say
wash?
Wash
it smells
Eggy
like
costume.
Inside that thing. Like, it must be pretty...
It smells
it must
like
be pretty
success.
Is that what success smells like?
Yes.
Sweaty velour costume.
Velour?
Why is it velvety now?
I feel like that's what it's made of.
No, I don't think
it's
made of
like
velvet. It's
just like cheap plastic.
It's made of mascot.
You can't machine wash cheap plastic, though. That would just like melt.
I don't think you can machine wash velour either.
Yeah, you can. I've had tons of velour stuff back in the 90s, and it was all machine washed, okay?
Back in the
90s?
Yes. When you were six?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I liked matching sweatsuits when I was a kid. I'm sorry.
Does anybody else feel like Eggy doesn't necessarily fit with our general school our general school spirit? Eggy is like the one thing that's silly and fun in our schools.
I don't think... To be honest, I don't think our school is that fun.
Our school
and
has no spirit.
To have this
yeah.
person jumping all over the place... With either a happy face, because that's what it is, right? He's got like a happy head,
his,
or
like
an angry head.
His mouth is
face.
Permanently smiling.
Yeah. No, they've got two. That's
there's,
what
happens. Oh, they have two heads now.
They've got like an angry, like scowling one, and then they've got like a happy one for events.
Oh, but I mean,
so
you
have to put the
that.
Angry head on when he goes to the opposite team.
But I don't think anybody sort of knows what he is, why he's there.
Ryerson has so little school spirit. Like, anytime you look at any pictures published about, like, Ryerson being spirited, it's from Frosh Week. And our Frosh Week has, like, one day of, like if you're in res, there's one day of Frosh Week that's, like, kind of crazy, zany, school-spirity things, and, like, you throw water balloons at each other and paint and crap, and you get messy. Like, U of T has at least a week of that, like, solid.
Yeah.
And ridiculous, like, centuries-old traditions. Like, Ryerson has none of that. It's, like...
And it's upsetting. Like, when you're going from high
upsetting.
School into university, you're kind of all, like, pumped up from all those stupid American movies that are all, like, really, like... they sensationalize all of that stuff, but like Ryerson has absolutely none of that.
Some schools really are like that. Like my grandpa went to Michigan University, which is too bad we don't have Lindsay here to talk about it. But
Michigan
has tons of like crazy traditions. Their football team, whenever they start a game, have to run and like jump a banner of Michigan like before they start the game for good luck. And there's all kinds of crazy school traditions. All the older schools, I feel like, actually have that. But Ryerson is so much just a, like, get in, get your degree, get out lot of people. Like, there's almost no spirit.
I think it's a polytechnical school still in the true sense of the word.
No,
not
totally.
Literally, but there's still this sense of you gain the skills you need to further your career and then you leave. Whereas U of T, you see these giant obnoxious groups of students running by Ryerson screaming and throwing things. It looks like a mob. Honestly, but
it's,
they are clearly so excited. There's this wonderful sense of feeling like you're part of this symbolic group somehow.
One of my friends is at U of T, and on his first day of res, there's all of the engineers and the artsy, so art science kids, have a rivalry during frosh and I guess like during the year, and all of the engineers have hard hats, and the artsy kids have to try to steal their hard hats. And an engineer was running away from a group of art students in like the quad of his res building and like got pushed, and his head, because it had a hard hat, went through my friend's window. It was on the first floor, so he's moving into res and this guy flies through his window. Like, that's a ridiculous introduction to school. Like, can you imagine that?
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
you're just sitting there and you're really obsessed about the placement of this one particular photo frame. You're like, should my mom go here? Should I tilt her to the left or right? And some guy's head just punches through your window.
Flies through the window. Yeah, so they had to like fix his window. I mean, when stuff like that happens and like nobody thinks it's weird, maybe that's not a great example of school spirit, but there's all those crazy traditions. Like, Ryerson doesn't have that.
I feel like the engineering department is like the last vestige of craziness, because I think they get those crazy leather jackets, right? And don't they have this tradition where
they
dump them in mustard?
They dye themselves purple. But
they
all
do
of
that.
Engineers all over the place do that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
just an engineering
so.
Thing.
But I think the engineering department of Ryerson still maintains
it might
that
be the
stupidity.
Most spirited, yeah.
Yeah.
With their, like, formula racing, too, and stuff like that. Like, they're the only department that actually does really weird-looking things from time to time, especially when they have those, like, little go-kart things they drag around campus.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you don't see anyone else doing anything exciting.
Also, shout out to the Golden Ram. I'm so glad you're back. I didn't know that... Maybe you weren't gone for a while, but I just love you so much. I love how stupid and crazy you are. So, yeah.
Who's the...
Golden Ram. We would like to see a collaboration in the near future.
And now that we've plugged your publication, you can again send checks to our office.
Exactly. I realize I said this without any... signing off from Lee, the editor-in-chief. Maybe Lee hates the Golden Ram.
I don't mind it. I think it's all right. I was reading one the other day. I've got one in this office.
What is this Golden Ram we speak of?
It is the official engineering publication. It's been going for quite a while. I think Lee has one.
Let's read from the Golden Ram.
And now, a dramatic reading from the Golden Ram.
So the Golden Ram, the current issue, has three... men wearing...
four.
Oh, no, wait.
No,
two men
wait, no, that's
wearing hard hats. And they're all wearing boxer shorts.
Yes.
There they are.
Oh, man.
Good-looking boys.
You didn't find this... Where do you even get this? The engineering building?
I have no idea.
I think it's Kerr Hall and the engineering building. It's black and white. It's like the size of some printer paper. It's,
we
like,
know your printing capabilities, the Golden Ram.
It's beautiful.
They're trying, and I think they're doing all right.
They are. It's a different setup. The magazine layout is different than it's been in past years.
No, it's very nice. We're happy to have you back, Golden Ram.
Exactly. We love that you don't try too hard to be serious like other Ryersonian.
I love this
publications on our
campus. Oh my god. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
For context.
Look at this center spread. There's a weenie.
Oh, there is. For your information, dear listeners, the
are we
going to
describe
center spread
the weenie?
Of the Golden Ram reads, "We work hard, we play hard," and there is a photoshopped on penis.
It's a weenie.
Yeah, it's not even, couldn't even be called a penis, I don't think.
No, that's just, yeah.
That's just a...
Sorry, I just felt the need to show her.
No. I think everyone wants to know.
Well,
plug for the Golden Ram
and weenies.
Yes. Also, we want you to fill out surveys about your relationship and sex lives. We're compiling them all to go in our Love and Sex issue on February 13th, so if you haven't filled out one yet, come by our office, and if you don't happen to have access to a paper one, there's also a post on our website, so there's a little survey you can click through.
I'm just so happy that the segue, speaking of weenies, essentially just happened.
Did I say that?
Well, weenies segued into our Love and Sex survey, so that happened.
Yes. Thank you, Voldemort, for providing a useful segue.
Okay. Involving weenies.
Speaking of weenies, we got an awesome tweet.
And now the transition, speaking of weenies, has actually happened.
Thanks,
we're
going
to implement a segment that used to be in our paper, but because our paper is meant for better things, I want to read out some epic tweets that we received last night. One of our Ryerson readers, tweet followers, tweeted at us accidentally. She meant to tweet at her friend at the Heartquake, but it filled it in as the eye opener. And she said, user Iona Zabel, I think that's how you say that, said, "Attention, the eye opener, I'm about to start another love-hate round of tweets." And so, being out of context, you can understand that we didn't really get this. She recognized her mistake, tweeted at us and her friend, the Heartquake, and said, "I lied, OMFG, that's the Heartquake, not my school newspaper, OMFG, no, no, no." So this was the best exchange that I've had the opportunity to witness in a while.
Not much of an exchange. We didn't reply, did we?
We did.
We
did.
Oh, what did we reply? Did we say some hateful things and loving things?
No, no, no. We said, "I think you meant to tweet at someone else." Yeah, what did we say? I should open this up.
So we're going
to
talk about the exchange, but we don't know what we said.
Oh, I don't
but
remember.
But trust us.
I
we
was just
said
hoping,
something
yeah,
clever.
Yeah, I was just hoping we had a legitimate exchange. I'm like, oh, an exchange. That sounds exciting.
This is how we sell the Twitter account. To find out what we said, go on to the Twitter account.
Because see? You won't find out.
No, no,
out
no.
Yet.
We said, "We understand. It's okay." And then she proceeded to say, "Hello, Big Daddy. How are you this fine night?" And we said, "We're just fine."
I feel like we're missing so much context here.
No, no, no. This is all the context that's needed. Just visit the Eye Opener Twitter, and I think this girl may have been drunk or just really tired.
I'm sure that no alcohol was involved.
You don't think so?
No, no.
Okay. You don't have much faith in our listeners, Sean. Or our Eye Opener readers. Speaking of not having faith in people.
What are we going to do next?
Continue.
All right. What next?
I feel like this is a story that Lee would appreciate. A woman in Albany, New York was arrested, I think a couple days ago, for tattooing her baby. Her 9-month-old baby was discovered to be tattooed from the babysitter, who tried to give the baby a bath and then heard it screaming, because its arm hurt, obviously. Apparently, this woman's boyfriend is a tattoo artist, and she told him that he could practice on the baby.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What was the tattoo of? Do we know?
We don't know. I saw an image somewhere, but I think it was just a stock photo. Not that there's many stock photos.
Stock photos of tattooed babies. Because there's all of those all over the internet.
Some sort of composite Photoshop image.
Could you imagine, though, when this baby grows up, just what will happen to the tattoo? Is it just going to stretch?
I assume there will be some kind of tattoo removal that occurs.
One of our other news editors, Mo, is hip thrusting outside the door.
There's been
speaking
a lot
of hip thrusting.
Speaking of hip thrusting.
I think
we got a potential eggy.
How old was this baby, though?
9 months old.
So 9 months old, and they have a tattoo.
Yeah.
That's just setting them up for success.
That's a hardcore baby. It's going to be scaring all the children at school with its tattoo.
Baby. That's even worse than getting a crappy name. You know, like having a really terrible name and how it predisposes children to be ridiculed.
Where was the tattoo? Do we know that?
On its arm.
So what happened?
It's a full sleeve tattoo.
What's happening to this baby? Is it going to like a foster care or what? I assume it's not being left with the crazy parents that tattooed it.
That is something I don't know. We're going to have to do a follow up to this particular.
I'd like to see a baby with a neck tattoo.
I would not like to see a baby with a neck tattoo.
You're rubbing the ante already.
Arm tattoo. Everyone's got their arm tattoos.
Not babies.
Well, good point.
Everything's regular these days. Lee's right. Arm tattoos are passe.
But neck tattoos are getting more popular now. Like, you can go into a coffee shop and the waitress will have a big eagle dripping with blood flying into a atomic bomb right on the neck.
So what we would like to see is a baby with an eagle dripping blood flying into an atomic bomb tattooed on its neck.
Nah, that's already been done by the woman in the coffee shop. The baby needs something original.
Doesn't that defeat
maybe
the whole
like
purpose?
A feather. Very hipster.
But I think I don't know. I think the baby should be sent away, really. But I mean, by people who would be responsible for the baby, not just in general.
I don't know much about tattoos, but isn't the way they're removed like with some kind of laser surgery?
Yeah,
like,
lasers.
So that's probably something you can't even do to a baby. So it's stuck with whatever
is
being tattooed on it.
That's terrible, though.
That is terrible.
And that's going to weaken its immune system, too. Just, like, it's literally, like, getting, like, stabbed tons of times with the needles and then getting burns on top. The kid's going to be just...
I have a very small tattoo on my wrist that I got about a year and a half ago, and I felt kind of nauseous afterwards. And people I know who've had bigger tattoos have said that as well. Your body needs to recover from being stabbed multiple times. It feels foreign to have that ink in your body, so for... someone who's like a third the size of all of us to have so
a
much
third.
In their body.
It's a baby.
Yeah.
It's like
okay.
That's a big baby you're talking about.
Okay, a fifth the size of Sean, but a third the size of the rest of us. One of our news editors, Sean Wetzlar, is very, very tall. So probably taller than a baby.
Much taller than a baby.
Doesn't weigh much more though, and he's approximately the same age.
And again with the inside jokes on the podcast.
Yes.
He's very young, is what we're trying to say. Very young.
Speaking of degenerates,
when did I become a degenerate?
Sorry, that was the wrong time to segue.
Yeah, segue from the initial degenerate.
Our news editor, Sean Wetzlar, and speaking of degenerates, thanks for that.
I was going to segue from the mother being a degenerate
right.
to...
Okay.
I'm not going to say degenerate, I'm going to say many people think he's a degenerate because he, we don't take particular stances as a newspaper or on this podcast on political issues.
I hope we're not talking about me anymore.
Oh, no. We're talking about everybody's favorite mayor who almost got, who has the potential to be thrown out of office again. That somebody,
again?
Well, that's probably not going to happen, but...
Rob Ford. Maybe we should provide a bit of context for people that haven't been following this.
What happened is there was an audit conducted on Rob Ford's 2010 mayoral campaign. 2010 was when he became mayor, and it concluded either today or yesterday and found that he broke over 100 rules, over 100 sections of the Municipal Elections Act. And one of them was that he spent $40,000 extra dollars, went over his budget by $40,000, which is an extra 3%. That particular one doesn't sound that epic, so $40,000 sounds more intense, so we'll use that particular term. But the story that I read felt the need to include that he could be removed from office, which I thought was interesting, but that would be unlikely. So
I don't think it'll ever happen. He's just going to keep getting away with stuff. Like, he's done so much, like... just stupid stuff what nobody should do, never mind the leader of a city, but he's just gonna keep getting away with stuff. I don't know how he does, but
I honestly think that, and I don't like Rob Ford, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but I think that there's probably an argument that the city already needs money. We don't want to be spending a bunch more money on another election by removing Rob Ford from office. Like, it's just going to throw the city into turmoil. And I think that, like, Rob Ford is obviously a really controversial mayor. And I think that a lot of this, he could be removed from the office hype. Like, it's been happening since he was elected because so many people, he's so polarizing. People either love him or despise him. So you've got all of these people that want him out of office and they want an excuse to do it. So there was... the court case, which got overturned by the appeals committee, and there's this audit, and I think that as long as he's in office, there's going to be a very strong opposition calling for him to be removed from office because he's done so many ridiculous things. But I think that nobody's going to actually do it. Like, his term's going to run its course. I don't know. Will he be reelected? I could definitely see him not getting reelected, but I don't think he's going to get kicked out beforehand.
I think that's a good point. He hasn't done anything ridiculous enough for someone to say we have to ditch this guy immediately.
It's
always
the
been
culmination of a lot of
stupid,
mildly
things.
Ridiculous things.
And the ridiculous things were things that he couldn't be called on, such as calling 911 when Barry Walsh, a Canadian comedian, appeared on his property, dressed up as some character that she plays, or when a Toronto Star reporter was writing a story and was looking at the borders of Ford's property and yelled at him and ran away. But he wasn't breaking any sort of rules. So those were the things that garnered him the most publicity. But the actual rule breaking that occurred were slight things that actually had to be dug up by someone.
I mean,
I'm
sure this has been said before, but I don't think there's a clause for removing a mayor from office legally because some people think he's an ass.
For sure,
yeah.
So, he's gotten away with it again, but, yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens with this audit. I'm sure there's a lot of lawyers that would love to be the guy that got Ford kicked out of office, but I don't think it's going to happen. There's been so much of it since he got elected. It's just been constantly people lobbying to get him kicked out. A lot of people really don't like him, but I think whether we like it or not, he's here to stay. He's proven that pretty much.
Yeah,
that is true.
I'm getting kind of bored by it. Just like the constant like, ha ha, look at Rob Ford. Guess what he's done now? And it's just like, all right. He said he hates public transport again.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really new. Like, I don't know, it's just getting a bit old, I think. Like, we're 2 years in, we've got another 2 years left, and it's like,
it's almost getting to the point now where if there were a mayor who had maybe had less of a controversial life in office and had, you know, been, like, more liked by the general populace, and they did any of the things that Ford has done, there'd be a huge uproar, because reporters would get all over that, right? They'd be like, oh my goodness, this mayor has done all these ridiculous things. But Ford has done so much of it, we've become like desensitized to Ford's ridiculousness.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, Ford, he didn't punch someone in the face, but like, oh, Ford got in a fight or he said something offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, he could do almost anything and people are not going to care because you pick up the Toronto Star every day and it's something Ford's done.
It is very true. He's known for being I don't think that this is unfair, a not well-spoken man who doesn't have a lot of care or time for the more smooth aspects of politics, which, you know, that could be debated, but nothing that he's done so far that's been reported has been out of character for him. That's very true. On a happier note, there were small children on campus. There have been small children on campus in the last couple weeks.
Is this the first years?
I think,
No!
Isn't
hey,
there a daycare
on
campus?
There is a daycare, but there's also a program. It's a charity program that was started up in conjunction with the Moss Park Community Hockey League, called Rams in Training. So there were a bunch of, like, 8 to 10-year-old boys running around on campus, which I thought was kind of cool. Makes me feel happier about humanity in general when there's fewer of us with big bags under our eyes cursing everything.
That's what university students do. Can we talk a little bit more about Rams in Training? What are they doing? Are they being trained by our teams or?
Yeah, they are. They're doing this in conjunction with Ryerson Athletics. And this is a community hockey league, I think. I may be wrong on this, but I think it's the only free hockey league that's still in the city. And a lot of these kids are what you would call underprivileged. So Ryerson Athletics has started a partnership with this hockey league to have them work one-on-one with coaches. They came in to do an aquafit class at the pool where I work about a week ago. And so they're offering them free training. They're taking them out on day trips. It's an opportunity for them to build skills and for them to feel as if people in the community appreciate them. So I think it's pretty cool for these little boys.
It's pretty good, yeah.
That's nice.
This is actually something, there's no controversy.
Yeah,
it's great.
People
fantastic.
Are the opposite of degenerates. They are just good charitable humans.
Yeah, it's just a nice good.
Actually, another thing I heard about that I was sort of I couldn't really fault the other day. It was David Beckham. He got signed to that team in Paris for a few years, and he said he's given his sack because he just wants to play football, really. And he's, I guess, he's got all the money he wants, so he's given his salary to a children's charity in Paris for the entirety of his time.
100% of his salary?
All of his salary.
Wow.
He's going to play for free and just give his salary to this charity. They haven't named the charity yet, I think, but it's some Paris children's charity.
Holy moly. David Beckham just can't lose in the greatness department. Hey?
But I thought that was like, that was good of him, really.
Yeah,
I
don't
see that much.
I don't think you can say anything bad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I guess he's pretty set. He's got a very hot wife, a lot of money, everyone loves him. He has 4 children with weird names. You know, he's pretty set in life.
That is
yeah.
what everybody wants in life, 4 children with weird names.
What are his children's weird names? That's what I would like
That's
to know.
That's a good question. I think I'm going to look this up. But I promise you they are kind of weird. David and Victoria Beckham's children.
Well, one of them is a model now, isn't he? He's like 9 or 10.
Okay, not as weird as I thought. 4 children are Harper, Cruz, Brooklyn, and Romeo.
Brooklyn, yeah,
Brooklyn's
that was the first one, wasn't it?
Unusual. I guess Cruz is unusual. They're not that weird.
Oh, Harper 7.
I mean, you hear about celebrities naming their kids Apple.
Well, that's like naming it after,
unit, like,
I don't know, Tom Cruise, Stephen Harper, Brooklyn Bridge. I don't know. Maybe they all had like
so
special places in their hearts.
An actor, a politician, and a bridge.
No, I think.
What was the other one?
Oh, was it Brooklyn? That was where they conceived, I think. It was New York.
Oh, God, that's
so
embarrassing.
That's
that's awful.
I think that's right.
Harper, Brooklyn, Cruz, and Romeo. So, no, not really that strange.
They're not, it's not that out there. You don't see a lot of kids named Romeo. But
no.
Could you imagine being named after the place you were conceived? My name would be Kiev.
Kiev.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of a nice name.
At least
actually.
That's kind of exotic. It's not like Toronto.
But you're not Toronto, you're Uxbridge.
I open an office.
Dear iOpener alumni who produced their child this office, we mean you no disrespect.
I don't know who that was. I wish I knew. Actually, no, I don't.
Actually.
We are talking about almost an urban myth of a child that was supposedly conceived in our office here. I've never met it. I'm not sure.
No. It.
I don't know if it's a boy or a girl.
It's probably locked away in some lab. never to see the light of day.
Well,
it's like one of those feral children.
Oh
my God.
But yeah, it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Like, get a insight into this person's
interview
life.
The eye-opener child. What
they
were you
only,
raised with?
They can only smell mold. Constantly.
They always eat takeout. And they cry a lot.
Well, yeah. That,
yeah.
Yeah.
Make a lot
that's,
of sense.
Those are all very
but
accurate
But what was
things.
The... What were we talking about? Rams in training. Was
yeah.
It.
That
I didn't
was,
see those little children.
I heard about them.
I think they were shuttled around to... various locations. I don't think they were at a campus tour.
I think they were like skating on Lake Devo or something.
Oh,
like
that's
a,
really
a
nice.
Friend of mine or saw them outside anyway today. So
they seem to be really optimistic children. Maybe that just goes
well,
along with the stereotype
yeah.
of being underprivileged. They're just happy about everything.
What
are you saying?
That seems
okay.
like a Dickens novel.
I think there's gonna have to be some editing done here.
Oh no!
No, children are. Optimistic on that.
Oh,
was.
You were talking about children in general? I guess I was too. I liked my life.
I think you're still optimistic.
Yeah, out of everyone here, yeah. I think probably at Ryerson, you're probably top 3.
The happiest person at Ryerson. This is based on a very efficient eye-opener study.
Yes, this is very official.
Mm.
It was conducted the utmost of objectivity. But the other night, yeah, last week, as part of the Ramson training program, they had a group of boys come in and a couple of my colleagues at the pool were teaching them Aquafit. And at first I was a bit skeptical about Aquafit for 9-year-old boys, but it turned out to just be a bunch of games and some in-water conditioning. But at the end of the session, their coach was telling them all to get changed, and one of them said, "Hey, coach, what are we having for snack?" And he said, "Shepherd's pie!" And they all went, "Yay!" And then he said he was joking, but they were still excited about the prospect of shepherd's pie, which
I'd be excited about Shetland's pie.
For a snack, though? But yeah, that's a weird snack. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, for a snack?
Are maybe
kids
children
excited about Dunkaroos and stuff?
Maybe
yeah.
Children really like shepherd's pie these days.
Who doesn't really like shepherd's pie?
Shepherd's
yeah.
pie is delicious. I make some pretty good shepherd's pie.
Maybe kids just eat whole meals for snacks now. I'm really out of touch with them.
I
out of touch
true.
With children.
I have an 11-year-old sister, but like, I don't know. She doesn't seem like that
she's
much of a kid. She just
it.
Spends all of her
the
time on her laptop
type.
In her room. That's what it seems
that's
like.
That's what I find weird about kids. I saw a kid with his mom today. And he was about 6'5", something like that. And he had an iPhone.
What?
Tapping away on an iPhone, walking down the street.
When we were shooting our cover last week, one of the ideas that we had talked about involved basically like making a miniature set, and we were going to use a doll bed as one of the props for this cover. And one of the photo editors, Natalia, and I went chasing all over Toronto looking for a toy store where we could buy this bed. And we did not find a single, like, dollhouse or, like, doll bed or anything like that in, like, all of downtown Toronto. There's one toy store in the Eaton Centre, and it's tiny. It's a closet. Like, there are no toy stores anymore. What happened?
Yeah.
Well,
know.
You aren't in suburbia, first of all. Suburbia has a lot wider variety of selections for acquiring toys, I guess.
There just aren't any children in downtown
think of
Toronto.
The Eaton Centre.
Yeah, no,
being...
downtown Toronto's for all young professionals, pretty much, right?
There's two schools right beside where I live.
Yeah, but I don't know. Kids don't really play with toys so much these days either. They're usually really little kids that are playing with toys, but after a certain age, they just start becoming a lot more technology reliant. Like, I remember my sister was saying she wanted an iPod or and a cell phone and stuff like that, and I was just like, I didn't get a cell phone until I went into high school, and it was a stupid Sony Ericsson. I mean, God bless that thing. It got run over by a bus, and it still survived.
What?
I still have it. Yep. And yeah, I dropped my iPhone on the frickin' carpet in the front of my house, and the screen cracks completely, shatters. I don't understand.
Okay, wait, I think we need some context for this story. How did your phone get run over by a bus?
I think this was about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, first year of high school. I live up in Richmond Hill, and I was going downtown to meet up with a friend, and it was like fall and it was pretty cold, and I had thin cloth gloves, you know,
mm-hmm.
the Loblaws kind, and I was holding onto it, my phone, when I was exiting a YRT bus, and I was like, oh, these gloves are pretty slippery, I should hold onto it, my phone tighter, and whoop, 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 it slips like soap under the bus, and the bus is trying to back up so I could get it, because, like, I couldn't crawl under the bus, and all I hear is just, like, and then, like, all of my, all of the keys were just, like, falling out and stuff like that, but the phone still worked.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Managed to get it out after it ran over, but, yeah. It was only one wheel that ran over it, not two, so.
It's an impressive amount of weight for the phone to suffer.
Yeah, Sony Ericsson. Like, shout out.
I feel like they used to make technology. I don't think this is an urban myth. I think technology used to be better made.
Oh, no,
five
definitely
years
was.
Ago.
What's it called? It's planned obsolescence.
Wow.
And that is
look
where...
Look at you dropping your educated words.
That is... That's
how do you
where,
spell that? Spell it.
That's where companies like, I don't know, Apple or, you know, all these big companies, they like plan out the lifespan of a product. So if it's like a laptop, they sort of pre-plan the lifespan of it, so it like wears out in like 5 years, and then you have to buy a new one.
Is that actually a thing, or is that a thing
no,
that everybody
thing.
Says because they like to pretend that everybody's out to get them?
No, it is an actual thing. Like I don't know if Apple do it, but there are companies that do it. They just don't obviously come out and say it. Like,
because I mean, I've heard
playing tricks on consumers, and
I've heard the same argument in reverse that technology is built to last just as long now as it always did. But the reason people are always buying new things is because people just want new things, and so your iPhone might still work, but you want the latest model, so you go buy
However,
the latest model.
Who was telling me this? Samsung. Will no longer accept products for... It's Samsung will no longer accept products for repair. They will no longer let you send... I think it's Samsung, but there's one particular company that won't let you send your phone in for repair anymore. You have to buy a new one.
The worst thing are these batteries. Like these lithium batteries that run out in a certain amount of time. They're the worst thing, I think.
Hmm.
Because it's like, Like with Max, like you can't get in and, you know, just change the battery.
For sure.
You've got like go and, you know, send it off and all that.
And yeah, Macs are incredibly untouchable and you can't play with the hard drive.
I was reading something the other day though, it was like nobody fixes anything anymore. That's like that's like the way the world has gone. People just buy a replacement instead of fixing it.
Which
I think is true.
I think that's true, yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
But.
It is, a little bit. I think it's definitely true, though.
That may be the dismal note we're going to end on. That nothing gets fixed anymore.
Oh, this podcast gets fixed.
Oh,
including
dear.
Dasha apparently has a broken leg.
But it's not getting fixed. I'm going to get a new one.
Oh, that's so awful. Anyway, we hope the rest of your evenings are better than this podcast.
What?
We just
bye.
Bye.